ತಪೋವನಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಸತ್ಯಸಾಯಿ ಸತ್ ಚರಿತ್ರ ಸೇಕ್ರೆಡ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಆಫ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಸತ್ಯಸಾಯಿ ಬಾಬಾ ಹೋಲಿ ಬುಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ಡೈಲಿ ರೆಸಿಟೇಷನ್ ಬೈ ಸಂತಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೆ ವೆಂಕಟೇಶ್ವರ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಿ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಎಂಎಸ್ಬಿ ಪ್ರಸಾದ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಜೆಬಿಜಿ ತಿಲಕ್ Day 1 Thursday Chapter 1 Tapovanam You cannot see me, but I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, but I am the sound you hear by. You cannot know me, but I am the truth you live by. Bhagwan Shri Satyasai Baba Entering the Tapovanam Before I commence the Parayanam of this book Tapovanam, I offer my most humble salutations to the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satyasai, the Lord of the Universe, the Protector of the Afflicted, and the encapsulation of Satchidananda Parabrahma, the universal supreme reality. There stands a banyan tree on the mountain path leading from Prashanti Nilayam to the university. It is no ordinary tree. It is the Dhyana Vriksham, the tree of meditation. And it is the Tapo Vriksham, the tree of spiritual austerities. On 29th June 1959, Ashadha Purnima, that is the full moon day of Ashadha month, Bhagwan materialized a thick copper plate of 15 inches by 10 inches, inscribed with alphabetical letters of great spiritual potency, Bija Aksharas. He deposited it in the earth at a spot specially chosen on the hill behind Prashanti Nilayam, and over it planted this banyan tree. On that sacred occasion, he addressed devotees and declared, "This tree is the Bodhi tree sitting under which Gautama Buddha received spiritual illumination. This is the tree of enlightenment, Jnana. Lord Krishna is known as Vatapatra Sai, reposing on a banyan leaf, because during the period of Pralaya, ultimate merger of all creation in the infinite, he assumed the microcosmic form of Balakrishna, Krishna the baby, and reposed on a banyan leaf. This is the tree referred to by Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. If aspirants, sadhakas, meditate and undertake spiritual austerities here, they will attain fulfillment of their desires, success in their efforts, control of senses, and steadiness of mind." With reference to planting of this tree, one of the lines in the Ashtotra Shatanamavali reads, "Sadhaganukraha Vatavriksha Pradishthapaka Yanamaha." The banyan lives forever. It is immortal, Amaravriksham. Growing into a mighty tree by itself, it drops innumerable root-like extensions from its branches to the earth, which in turn become fresh roots and extend the tree in all directions. The process goes on and on, providing ever-increasing area of cool shade and shelter to people. I do not hesitate to assert that Bhagwan is likewise providing ever-increasing zone of protection and peace for the benefit of the entire humanity. This tapovriksham is certainly kalpavriksham, wish-fulfilling celestial tree, identical with Bhagwan. Those who are in intense distress and are tired with the ups and downs of life Those who are in spiritual quest, those who ardently desire something pure, those who are progressing on the path of spiritual enlightenment, all such persons gather at the feet of Sri Sathya Sai and attain tranquility, supreme peace and equanimity. Truly, Baba is himself a tapovraksham, where all spiritual austerities achieve fulfillment. Prashanti Nilayam is verily the tapovanam. Physical construction of the complex of Prashanti Nilayam had not yet commenced then. Bhagwan was standing one day on the rocky ground there. Out of his mouth emerged prophetic words. Before long, this area is going to be transformed into a Shirdi, a Tirupati and a Varanasi. Thousands of yogis, sannyasis and seekers of truth and divine grace rushed to this place for spiritual peace and salvation. From this spot will originate the universal program of revival of Sanatana Dharma, the eternal faith of righteousness. Hundreds of thousands of people from all corners of the world visit this place eagerly searching for me. At the far fringes of such crowds stand many more craning their necks to catch at least a glimpse of my person. If they manage to snatch but a fleeting flash of a tiny bit of this ochre robe I wear, they thank their stars and feel that the purpose of their lives has been fulfilled. Within a short time after Swami made this announcement, Prashanti Nilayam took shape. The Prashanti Mandir, with its distinctive style and beauty, the temple tower, numerous multi-storied buildings providing accommodation to devotees, the exquisite Purnachandra Auditorium, and the Sai Kulwant Hall, all sprang into existence. Very soon, Prashanti Nilayam was designated a township. In the words of Baba, this is a place where every human being can experience spiritual peace par excellence. It is a temple and at the same time a church and a synagogue, to each according to his or her preference. Everyone is entitled to drink deep at the unlimited and bountiful fountain of love of God. God has incarnated here in human form. Here, everyone can reach the highest levels of spiritual attainment. My goal is to convert every human heart into a Prashanti Nilayam. It is only for achieving it that the present avatar of mine has materialized on earth. Every devotee is free to avail of these benign surroundings, to meditate to his heart's content, irrespective of the deity he worships. He will suffer no disturbance. Nowhere else in the world could such a facility be found. That is how this place is regarded as universal garden of meditation, Vishwatapovanam. Fulfillment of spiritual austerities is attained very much faster here. The formless supreme reality, Nirakara Parabrahma, is seen here in flesh and blood, in human form. Just sit in meditation. God himself comes to you. He stands right in front of you. He smiles gently at you. He speaks enduringly, reassuringly to you. He touches you softly. He blesses you. He showers divine bliss on every atom of your being. It is only on the strength of good deeds and good fortune accumulated during numerous past lives is one privileged to enter this tapovanam. That is why Bhagwan says, without my will, nobody can set foot on the soil of Puttaparthi. No one can do so by chance or by accident. this is literally true. Hundreds and thousands of visitors throng to Puttaparthi, seeking relief from restlessness of mind. They come from far and near, from every continent and country. They belong to different races and religions, and they speak numerous languages. They go back after experiencing indescribable bliss and peace. They are receiving due reward for the merit they had accumulated during previous lives through spiritual sadhana. No less than personal interaction with God Himself is their supreme reward at Puttaparthi. They rejoice in the blessings Bhagwan Sri Satyasai showers on them. Those who practiced never before any spiritual austerities whatsoever get inspired on seeing Bhagwan and begin to do so. This is evident even to a casual observer. Because of many such reasons has this book been named Tapovanam, the Garden of Meditation, and the ever-merciful Bhagwan has blessed this humble effort. Pranavam. The pilgrimage center of Puttaparthi is surrounded by beautiful hills which provide sylvan, pleasant and peaceful environment. One feels as if great sages and rishis are performing meditation there. Behold, it is now the Brahma Muhurtam, the pre-dawn period. Cool and refreshing breezes are wafting. Birds are up and making soft chirping sounds. In the Prashanthi Nilayam precincts, around 4:40 a.m., the gong strikes 12 times. That sets in motion the day's activities in the divine court. Devotees quietly move into the forecourt and take their seats in perfect rows. At 4:50 a.m., the gong strikes 5 times. Those who are sitting in the forecourt smoothly move into the hall. After the bhajan hall is full, lights are switched off and the doors are closed. It is now exactly 5 a.m. A bell is rung. The gathered devotees begin rhythmically intoning the Omkar, utterance of Om, the universal sound, in perfect unison and measured tone. Omkar is credited with the power of attuning individual Atma, the soul, with a Paramatma, the Supreme Principle. The great rishis of yore gifted Omkar to the world as Mahamantra, the sublime, most potent mantra. It is said, Om, iti eka aksharam brahma. This single-syllabled word Om is itself the divine principle. It comprises three sounds, A, U, and M, Om. Constant and sustained incantation of pranama leads to obliteration of mind and experience of supreme bliss. Regarding the profound significance of Om, Baba has this to say. There is only one word which is all-pervasive throughout the universe. That is Omkar. That is Pranavam. All creation is imbued with Pranavam. The mountain brooks sing Pranavam. The oceans sing Pranavam. Why? Even the process of inhalation and exhalation is nothing but Pranavam. Those who perform manual labor like palanquin bearing or lifting weights or washing clothes ease their strain and soothe their nerves by rhythmically intoning pranavam. That being the case, if one intones pranavam with full understanding of its meaning and significance and with devotion, one is sure to expiate all burden of accumulated sin and attain release from the cycle of births and deaths. Just as a long train of coaches moves forward when it is linked to a railway engine, all mantras become potent and fruitful when they are prefixed with pranavam. Even if just pranavam alone is intoned, it amounts to having intoned the essence of all the Vedas. Such a potent and all-powerful provider of supreme bliss, the Omkar, now echoes 21 times in Prashanti Nilayam. The spiritual vibrations thus generated are carried on the wings of the early morning waves of breeze, creating spiritual pulsations throughout the universe. Next follows the Suprabhatam, the ceremonial awakening of the Lord. The verses are in Sanskrit. The music is rhythmical and specially attuned to the early morning environment. Suprabhatam.
Ishwaramba Sutha Sriman Purva Sandhya Pravartate Uttishta Satya Sayisha Kartavyam Daivamamnikam.
O son of Ishwaramba, O resplendent majestic one, the dawn is breaking in the east. The daily tasks of divinity which you have undertaken have to be accomplished. Therefore, awake, O Lord Satyasai.
Uttishto tishtapati sa Uttishta jagadipate Uttishta karuna purna Lokamangala siddhaye.
Awake, awake, O Lord of Parthi, where he has manifested himself and from where his splendor radiates over the entire world. Awake, O Lord of the entire world and of all mankind. Awake, O Lord of compassion, so that the world may attain fortune, Mangala.
Chitravati Tata Vishala Shushanta Saudhe Tishthanti Sevaka Janastava Darshanartham Aditya Kanti Ranupadi Samasta Lokan Shri Satya Sai Bhagavan Tava Suprabhatam.
In the vast mansion so full of peace, Prashanti Nilayam, on the banks of the river Chitravati, those anxious to serve thee are waiting for thy darshan. The radiance of the sun is spreading, illumining all the worlds. O Bhagavan Satyasai, we pray for a glorious daybreak, blessed by thy wakefulness.
Tvannama kirtana ratastava divyanama Gayanti bhakti rasapana Bruhrishta siptaha Tatum kripa sahita darshanamasudevyaha Shri Satya Sai Bhagavan Tava Suprabhatam.
Persons who are engaged in singing aloud thy name and who are happy when they do so because then they taste the nectar of devotion have come, and may thy benign darshan shower thy grace on them. We pray for a glorious daybreak, blessed by thy wakefulness.
Adaya divya kusumani manoharani Shripada pujana vitim bhavatangri mule Kartum mahotsukadaya ప్రవిశంతి భక్తాః శ్రీ సత్యసాయి భగవన్ తవ సుప్రభాతం.
Bringing holy flowers of captivating colors and fragrance for worshipping thy feet in the form prescribed by the scriptures, thy devotees are coming in with great yearning and enthusiasm. We pray for a glorious daybreak blessed by thy wakefulness.
Te shantara katapudha స్తవ దివ్యమూర్తిం సందర్శనాపిరది సంయుత సిత్తవృత్యా వేదోక్త మంత్రపఠనేన లసంత్యజస్రం శ్రీ సత్యసాయి భగవన్ తవ సుప్రభాతం.
Learned persons from other countries, moved by the yearning to have thy darshan, have come. They are having great delight in reciting constantly the mantras of the Vedas. We pray for a glorious daybreak, blessed by thy wakefulness.
శ్రుత్వా తవాద్భుత చరిత్రమకంఠకీర్తిం వ్యాప్తాం దిగంతర విశాల తరాతలేస్మిన్ జిజ్ఞాసు లోక ఉపతిష్ఠతి చాశ్రమేస్మిన్ శ్రీ సత్యసాయి భగవన్ తవ సుప్రభాతం.
Hearing thy marvelous story and thy fame that has reached the farthest horizons, earnest seekers of reality have come to this place and are waiting for you. We pray for a glorious daybreak, blessed by thy wakefulness.
సీతా సతీ సమవిసుక్తృదంబుజాతా బహ్వంగనాకరకృకీత సుపుష్పహారా స్తున్వంతి దివ్యనుదిభిః పణిభూషణం త్వాం శ్రీ సత్యసాయి భగవన్ తవ సుప్రభాతం.
Women devotees in purity equal to goddess Sita and with hearts like lotuses whose petals are unattached to the world in which they live but are drawn to the sun, namely God, are singing thy glory through holy hymns, holding excellent flower garlands in their hands. We pray for a glorious daybreak, blessed by thy wakefulness.
Suprabhatamitam punyam ye pathanti dine dine te vishanti parandhama జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన శోభితాః మంగళం గురుదేవాయ మంగళం జ్ఞానదాయినే మంగళం ప్రతివాసాయ మంగళం సత్యసాయినే.
Whoever daily recites this wakening hymn will attain the highest abode, resplendent with the supreme intelligence as well as the supreme wisdom. May the divine guru be auspicious to us. May the bestower of wisdom be auspicious to us. May the Lord who manifested in Parthi be auspicious to us. May Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba be auspicious to us. Spiritually speaking, Suprabhatam is an appeal to him to awake to the devotee's yearning. It is an appeal also to one's own consciousness to wake up to the truth of Bhagwan being one's own innermost reality. It may sound odd that human beings sing the awakening up song and bid good morning to Bhagwan, who is ever awake and ever alert and is the supreme witness to everything in the universe. Where is the need for waking up the one who knows no sleep whatsoever and who is ever wakeful? Then, what is all this Suprabhatam for and for whom? The real purpose behind this musical exercise is to arouse ability to discriminate, vivek, and alertness in all of us who have woken up from the bosom of sleep that holds us in its embrace like a mother. The inner meaning of Suprabhatam is to remind ourselves God resides within everyone's heart, and also to trim the flame of awareness, Jnana Agni, so that it may burn brighter than ever. Here is a revealing incident. It was the holy night of Shivaratri, the night marking the birth of Lord Shiva in the form of Lingam. A scholar named Sri Deepala Pichaya Sastri was sitting among devotees doing bhajan in Prashanti Nilayam. Suddenly, he had a strange thought. I would like to see the wonderful grace and beauty of Bhagwan Sai Baba when he is asleep. At about 11 p.m. that very night, Swami summoned Sastri into the interview room and began talking to him. Sastri did not notice the passage of time. It was more than an hour. He felt drowsy and could no more hold back his yawns. Swami then asked him, Sastri, you wish to see me asleep, but you yourself are dozing. Sastri suddenly sprang to wakefulness and wondered how Swami knew his innermost thoughts that had crossed his mind a little while ago. Baba assumed a tone of serenity and seriousness and said, Sastri, if I were to sleep, would you be waking up again? Sastri was startled. God is perpetually wakeful and eternally active. We should never overlook this simple truth. Nagara Sankirtan. After Suprabhatam, it is now time for Nagara Sankirtan. It comprises an activity in which groups of devotees go round the streets singing devotional songs. They sing with ardent devotion and dedication, and the rhythmic music, often accompanied by simple musical instruments, inspires holy thoughts not only among the singers but also others. In the early hours of the day, when birds are chirping their own musical sounds, when cool and soothing breezes gently waft over Prashanti Nilayam, the lovely music of devotees as they go around Swami's mandir provides an unforgettable experience to one and all. Nagara Sankirtan begins at the entrance of Prashanti Nilayam with the auspicious darshan of Lord Ganesh under the spreading peepal tree. Devotees in orderly lines go around the Nilayam complex and come back to the point where they started, that is, the Ganesh temple. At the age of 10, Sri Satya Sai Baba, then known as Satyanarayana Raju or simply Satyam, would gather a group of boys of Puttaparthi for singing bhajan songs. The group called themselves Sri Panduranga Bhajan Mandali, Inspired by the enchanting personality of Satyam, the group would don appropriate custom-made uniforms and with flags in their hands go round the village, street by street, singing bhajans to the accompaniment of cymbals. They would set a tall lamp stand on the ground and go around it in a wide circle, singing in rhythm and ecstasy. Occasionally, infectious diseases like cholera and smallpox used to rage and ravage villages all around Puttaparthi. But here in Puttaparthi, residents noticed everyone was safe, happy and healthy. They felt that it was solely due to the devotional activity of Satyam's Bhajana Mandali. Soon residents of neighboring villages began inviting the Mandali to come over and perform bhajans. In due course, they too noticed relief from disease and untimely death. The tiny devotional seedling planted by Satyam in those far-off times has today blossomed into the Sri Satya Sai Seva Samitis and their Nagara Sankirtan Vrindas or groups, carrying on bhajan activities on a more extensive scale all over the world. Sandarshan. Nagara Sankirtan is over and it is time now for Sandarshan, that is, public audience, familiarly known as Darshan of Bhagwan. Eager devotees are now entering the audience hall and taking seats in well-ordered rows. Meanwhile, the temple priests perform rituals of worship of the two deities, Lord Ganesh and Lord Subramanya, whose temples are located directly at the entrance of Prashanthi Nilayam precincts. Soon the deities are bathed in holy water, Abhishek, decorated with flowers and garlands, worshipped and offered Arati. The morning hours resound with Vedic mantras.
Yayevam Veda, Yoha Mayatanam Veda, Ayatanavan Bhavati, Akshirva Hapa Mayatanam, Ayatanavan Bhavati, Yoha Agder Ayatanam Veda, Ayatanavan Bhavati, Apova Agder Ayatanam, Ayatanavan Bhavati, Yayevam Veda,
Now, everyone is sitting in well-ordered rows in the audience hall, waiting for the arrival of Bhagwan, the personification of the ultimate in human form, and the savior of mankind. Among the eager audience are those who have come from far-off lands, profess different faiths, and follow different modes of worship. But here, they are all one. They are keenly waiting for the same identical event that happens regularly day after day, the arrival of the ever-merciful Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. 2 hours have passed, but Swami has not yet arrived. Has some devotee in deep distress cried out for Swami from somewhere? The moment he called out, "Oh Sai," the Lord must have appeared in front of him. "Yes, I am here," providing immediate succor. But after receiving the Lord's bounty, does the grateful devotee easily let him go? Does he not shed tears of joy? And does he miss the rare opportunity to bathe the feet of the Lord with flooding tears of gratitude? That must be the reason why Bhagwan has not yet arrived. Otherwise, the most compassionate Sai will never so long ignore the ache and anguish of the thousands of devotees eagerly waiting in the mandir for his darshan. Oh, behold! We hear the soft tones of a flute being played, heralding Swami's arrival. Thousands of heads turn in the same directions as sunflowers toward the sun. With eyes peeled, devotees try to catch a glimpse of the Lord at the earliest moment. Do they see some flash of red there? That play of color marks the direction from which he comes in. The one absolute truth. What a glorious sight it is. Clad in effulgent flame-hued garments, mercy and compassion take physical form. Personification of grace, showering gentle smiles of indescribable charm, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai is slowly moving in and going along the rows of devotees. With one hand raised in Abhay Mudra, the gesture of assuring protection, he is satiating the parched hearts of distressed devotees. He is receiving numerous letters which devotees humbly hold up to him. To some, he is granting the coveted privilege of offering Pada Namaskar, salutations to his lotus feet. Some others are blessed with Dipoti, sacred ash, manifested from nowhere by a mere movement of his palm. He is blessing some by a soft touch or by a raising of his open palm. The scene is beyond description, a sight for gods. Swami has been described by scholars as Mauna Vyakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam, which may be translated as Supreme Divinity Manifested Through Silence. Swami does not speak much, but every devotee finds that all his doubts are cleared and misgivings dissolved. All his worries get resolved as he sets his eyes on Swami. His whole being is inundated with shanti, peace, karuna, tenderness and compassion, and prema, love. Every person there is thinking alike, how many days and years have I longed for this moment of darshan of Swami? The ever merciful Lord is now nearing me in flesh and blood. He is close at hand. Let my eyes be satiated with the glorious sight. Let not my tears of joy come in the way and obstruct my vision. My mind has gone crazy in longing for him for years and years. Here is the blessed moment. The divine beauty is close by. Let my eyes and my mind be feasted. My body has lost its sense of touch in waiting so long for him. Here are the Lord's lotus feet. Now that they are within reach, let my body revive itself by touching those divine feet here and now. Oh no, my body does not move. My tongue too refuses to move and talk to Bhagavan. All these, my own eyes, my own mind, my own body, even my own tongue are failing me at this crucial moment. Tears are obstructing my vision. My tongue is tied. My body is forgetting itself because of profound joy. Such is the power of Sai personality. A mere look at the Lord, the ever merciful, is sufficient to fill one and all with unparalleled peace and equanimity and unruffled, sustained inner happiness. As we set our eyes on Baba's form, something he himself had said regarding the nature of his divinity rings in our ears. I willed, he once declared, for my own pleasure to create this vast universe. Before that, there was none to understand me. I merely willed, that's all. Mountains rose, rivers flowed, the earth below and the sky above took form. Oceans rolled. The sun, the moon, deserts, everything took shape to demonstrate my existence. Humans, animals, birds, all living beings began to speak, to hear, and to move about. Man was accorded primacy. I equipped the human brain with my own discriminative wisdom. What a revelation! What profundity! Reflecting on these words will elevate us to the highest echelons of spirituality. After fascinating the assembled gathering by his audience, Bhagwan slowly walks past rows of school children seated in the veranda of the mandir. Despite his age and the present physical form, Swami makes himself available to devotees every morning as regularly as the sun does. Often we feel quite distressed at the trouble we give him. Meanwhile, Swami selects a few persons for personal interview, conducts them one by one into the interview room, and then, with a pleasing smile on his lips, moves in himself. The morning darshan is over. Even celestial beings wait for me. Minds of devotees are full with exhilaration generated by darshan of Baba. Eyes closed, we meditate deeply on the glorious experience just granted to us and the captivating, magnificent form of Bhagavan. And the sweet memory of a message once given by Baba comes to our mind. After availing of the blessing of seeing me, retire to a place of solitude and silence. Keep your mind steady and unruffled. In that state of absolute calm, meditate on my form and the rare privilege and good fortune of having seen me in person. You will then derive the beneficial effect of my blessings in full measure. While you may enter into the stillness and receive the completion of my blessings, my energy goes from me to you as I move past you during public audience. My divine power radiates into your whole being. If you begin talking immediately thereafter, instead of observing silent meditation, the precious energy is dissipated and returns back to me without leaving its beneficial impact on you. Whomsoever I look upon undergoes a change for the better and acquires new potency, which continues to gain strength day after day. Never underestimate the beneficial effects of having my darshan. My walking among you is a gift yearned by the gods of the highest heaven, and here you are receiving this grace. Doubt not that you have come by this godly boon as a reward for the spiritual merit of your earlier lives. Even celestial beings wait patiently for my darshan. On the other hand, this rare privilege is within your reach day after day. Never forget that this is all due to the merit of your previous lives. These blessings you receive will express themselves in their perfect time. Then they will blossom and bear fruit. What a wonderful assurance! Even celestial beings wait patiently for my darshan. These words bring to us recollection of a couple of fantastic events. Pedda Bottu's experience. There was an ardent devotee of Shirdi Sai Baba by name Srimati Gali Sarada Devi. She had spent several years in close proximity to him. More than 20 years after Shirdi Sai merged in the infinite, she happened to meet Sri Satya Sai and he summoned her to Puttaparthi. In due course, she was provided regular accommodation in Prashanti Nilayam. Bhagwan also gave her a pet name, Pedda Bottu, as a term of endearment. The word means big bindi, as she used to wear an unusually large mark of kumkum on her forehead. It so happened that in the early hours of a morning, she was sitting in meditation under the tapo vriksham in Puttaparthi. It was still dark. She happened to open her eyes and suddenly saw something unbelievable. Celestial women were moving in the sky above the Prashanti Mandir. They radiated brilliant white light as they traveled over the hills towards the east. Beautiful in appearance and bright in complexion, richly adorned with flowers and garlands, they did not walk on the ground but sped high in the open sky. Peddaputtu guessed that they were no ordinary human beings. She could also hear melodious musical sounds. Astonished at the vision, she realized that celestial beings were returning to their abode after having darshan of Sri Sathya Sai Parabrahma, the Supreme God. Peddaputtu was a yogini and was therefore blessed with the soul-stirring experience by Bhagwan. After a little while, she came down the hill and quietly opened the doors of the bhajan hall to find everyone fast asleep. But strangely, the sounds of music were still on. She realized that some celestial visitors were still there, entertaining Baba with music and dance. In the morning, when Peddaputtu met Baba, she mentioned to him, "Swami, I saw the celestial beings as they were returning after meeting you." "Oh, did you?" gently smiled Swami. Raja Reddy's vision. It was Vaikuntha Ekadesi, a day of exceptional sanctity. Holy scriptures describe it as the glorious day on which Lord Sri Mahavishnu vouchsafes darshan to devotees at the northern gateway of his celestial abode. A devotee called Raja Reddy was sleeping in the veranda on the first floor of Prashanti Nilayam. At about midnight, he woke up. He noticed through the slightly open doors of Swami's room a very bright illumination. He wondered why so much light was there at such an odd hour. He drew close and peeped through the gap between the doors. He was astonished to find several celestial beings taking turns to pay homage at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai. They emitted fantastic illumination. Swami was reclining like Lord Sri Mahavishnu on the bed provided by Adisesha and was graciously accepting their homage. Seven fires were burning bright all around Swami's bed. The vision startled Raja Reddy. He quietly drew the doors close and went back to his bed in the veranda. He could sleep no further. Next day he mentioned to Swami about his heavenly experience and inquired, "Swami, who are all those persons?" Swami explained, "They are all celestial beings, devatas. They have come for my darshan. What you saw in the form of flames are the Saptarishis, the seven great rishis. As I protect you by my blessings, you are still alive. Otherwise, the moment you set your eyes on that scene, you would have been reduced to ashes. Sri Sathya Sai is really the human form of Parabrahma. Our humble salutations to him." Coming back to the proceedings in Prashanti Nilayam, in the southeastern corner within the Nilayam's Mandir, ceremonial worship and bathing in holy water, Rudra Abhishekam of the Salagram, representation of Lord Shiva, has by now been completed. Similarly, worship and ritual chanting of the 108 sacred names, Shata Namavali Ashtotra, of Sri Sathya Sai Bhagavan, as well as Goddess Lalita Devi, have been concluded. Deities are required to be worshipped through pujas. Pujas are really the steps leading to the worship of the self, Atma Puja. Every deity helps in spiritually vitalizing the Atma. Each puja has to be performed with devotion and proper realization that it is but worship of the Supreme Being enthroned in one's own inner self. love, spiritual consciousness, and awareness of the universal absolute. These should become part and parcel of a devotee's daily life. Bhajan. It is now 9 a.m. and bhajan has commenced in the mandir. Bhagwan has come inside with a gentle smile and graced the decorated throne. He moves his hands gracefully in rhythm with the songs being sung. He has a habit of moving his fingers as if he is writing something in the air. As he smiles now and then, the audience goes into raptures. What does he write? Why does he smile as he writes? What would be the thoughts that go on in his mind? The whole picture seems so mystifying. We are reminded of what Swami once said. You must all have noticed that when I am seated on the throne in the bhajan hall, I smile as though I accosted someone. I move my fingers as if I were writing something in the air. That is because I actually speak or communicate with persons not visible to you. I always help those who pray to me for help. But I do not give publicity to these matters. Does a father advertise the affectionate help he gives to his own son? The public bhajan program comprises devotional songs related to Lord Ganesh, Lord Sri Rama, Lord Sri Krishna, the Buddha, Jesus, Sai, and Allah. The singer sings soulfully, accompanied by music played on various musical instruments.
Govinda Krishna Jai, Gopala Krishna Jai, Gopala Bala Bala Radha Krishna Jai.
Devotees to join in. In the vast gathering there, who is completely, fully and totally immersed in the devotional emotion generated by these songs? None else but Bhagwan. Witnessing Swami so immersed in deep ananda is itself a memorable and edifying experience that the fortunate onlooker will sweetly cherish and recall forever. Swami once exhorted his devotees about the spiritual significance of bhajan through a simple metaphor. When you gather under a tree, he said, and make a loud noise, every bird on the branches flies away. Human life is just like the tree on which several birds are sitting and producing distracting noise. The birds are kama, desire and lust, krodha, anger, lobha, avarice and covetousness, moha, infatuation, mada, arrogance, and matsarya, jealousy, envy. Together, they make a cacophony of sounds disturbing your peace and equanimity. If you loudly sing the names of Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Narayana and so on, those evil birds will fly away, leaving your minds pure and hearts in perfect peace. Let us grasp the intrinsic worth of performing bhajan so beautifully illustrated by Baba. Let us turn our hearts towards him. The bhajan is now concluded. Arati has been offered to Swami, and he has proceeded into his inner chamber. This is the account of the morning activities in Prashanti Nilayam. Let us offer our salutations to Bhagwan Sai Baba. Let us ruminate and meditate on his divine form. Let us realize that Swami has retired only into our own hearts. And let us quietly leave Prashanti Nilayam and go home. Let us go. Chapter 2. Shirdi Sai, Parthi Sai. At first, name and form are essential, That is the reason why avatars come, so that God can be loved, adored, worshipped, listened to and followed, and finally realized as nameless and formless. Bhagwan Baba. Who is the Satya Sai Baba? Is this Swami who displays inordinate, suprahuman, captivating powers truly God? Is he an incarnation? We do not know even our own nature fully. We are incapable of understanding the true nature of even our closest associates. How can we then comprehend the complexity of the principle and personality of an incarnation? One understands the nature of the moon, at least to some extent, although we have only the moonlight to go by, and lamps as reference points can be of little use. Similarly, if we venture to understand Lord Sai, we have to fall back on the only measuring tools available to us, namely, the illustrative incidents provided by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba himself, and also his own messages. Jodi Adipalli Somappa. It was 25th November 1958. After witnessing Swami's birthday festivities at Prashanti Nilayam on the 23rd, Venkatram and his family left by car for Bangalore. When they reached village Bagepalli, on the way, there was a crisis as their little girl Geeta Sudha was found to have stopped breathing. The family felt that she was on the verge of dying, if not already dead. In their agony, the family members looked around for help. An old man, apparently a farmer, appeared from nowhere. He drew near and took the baby in his arms. At his touch, miraculously the girl showed signs of life and cried. They were surprised to see the girl, whom they thought dead, come back to life so suddenly. Venkatram, the father of the little girl, was overjoyed and as a mark of gratitude offered a rupee to the unknown benefactor. The old man politely refused it. When Venkatram asked for his name, he said that he was known as Jodi Adipalli Somappa. Later on, Swami narrated this incident to Sri Kasturi. I went there in the form of an old villager, he said. And it was I who gave life back to the dead child. Sri Kasturi wanted to know why Swami had thought of that peculiar name and whether any significance was attached to it. Swami explained, Adipalli means the pristine village, the original one, which is nothing but Kailasam, Lord Shiva's abode. Jodi means a couple. Somappa, Sa plus Uma, means Lord Shiva together with Uma, his consort. Sri Satya Sai Bhagwan thus revealed his real identity, that he is the personification of Lord Shiva and Goddess Shakti, Shiva Shakti. On another occasion, Swami asked someone by name Kailasam what his name would mean. He was somewhat taken aback as he did not know. He struggled in vain for a whole week searching for the answer to Swami's question. Then Swami himself explained to him, Kailasam signifies the cleanest, purest and flawless crystal. It is also a symbol of the purest untainted heart. Lord Shiva chose Kailasam as his celestial residence, and he also resides in a pure heart. Prema Kutiram. There stands on the highway close to Bagepalli a building called Prema Kutiram, the cottage of love. And in its vicinity stands the marvelous structure celebrated as Sarva Dharma Stupam, incorporating the cardinal principles of all the religions of the world. It was not known as Prema Kutiram at that time, when it was established in 1980. It was then known as Sri Satya Sai Seva Sibiram, service camp. The organizers were Sai devotees and they used to serve refreshments to pilgrims on their way to Prashanti Nilayam to attend the festivities there and also on their way back. By virtue of its dedicated service, the Sibiram received Baba's special appreciations and blessings. On 30th November 1980, Swami visited the Sibiram and told the organizers, "My blessings are always available in plenty to whosoever is dedicated to doing good." Inspired by Swami's blessings, the Sibiram widened its activities with renewed vigor. In due course, the Sarva Dharma Samanvaya Trust also came into being. It devoted itself to the establishment of a Seva Sadan, orphanage and an aged people's home. It so happened that Mrs. Anjali Devi, the celebrated Telugu film actress, Miss P. Sushila, the well-known singer, and some others were on their way to Puttaparthi. The organizers greeted them and requested them to stop for a while and accept prasadam, refreshments blessed by the Lord, provided at the Sibiram. But the famed travelers did not appreciate the nice gesture. They mistook the hosts to be the usual run of cinema fans who were always eager to rub their shoulders with film folk. Disdaining the kindly offer, they went their way. When they were with Swami later, he gently admonished them, "I am present not only in Prashanti Nilayam, but also in the Seva Sibiram in Bagepalli." The lesson went home. On their return journey, they made it a point to stop at the Sibiram. They profusely apologized to the organizers and humbly accepted prasadam from their hands before resuming their journey. Swami is known to move about in the area around Bagepalli, assuming various forms at will. No doubt, he does this for the well-being of the residents there. On 7th June 1996, Swami inaugurated the aged people's home there. He announced, "This Sibiram is Prema Kutiram, Sri Satya Sai Prema Kutiram." Ever since, it has been known by that name. The sacred touch of his lotus feet has often sanctified the Prema Kutiram. On 11th June 2000, Bhagwan again visited Prema Kutiram and, to the pleasure of the devotees, declared open the rest house for the aged, the temple for Lord Ganesh, and the cowshed.